The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "But we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, as many of you know, a few weeks ago, I took a trip with Becky and Elijah. We rented a minivan. We drove overnight up I-5 and over the coastal range of the mountains of Oregon to the Oregon coast. And we wound up in the seaside town of Waldport, Oregon, to spend a week there with my parents. And she and I had driven straight through overnight, so we wouldn't even have to stop and get a hotel. It was a long, long night of driving, but that's vacation in a pandemic, I guess. And it was worth it, worth every minute. And before I left, I promised our church council that I would let them know, upon my return, how we would move forward as a church with communion during this time of social distancing and pandemic. And I'm grateful for their patience and for yours. And just so you know, the process of discernment in the Christian tradition is this. You listen, you pray, you listen some more, you pray some more, and then you rest. Discernment takes a while, but that's how it works. Listening, prayer, rest. So after doing quite a bit of listening and quite a bit of praying, I went off for some rest. And to be honest, as I left, I still wasn't 100% sure how we would do communion or whether we would do it. I'd spent time talking on the phone to so many members, which I was so grateful for. I'd received email reflections. I talked to mentors and other pastors and friends. And if you don't know it, the issue of communion right now during COVID, online in worship, it's kind of a big one in our church, and for good reason. Several of our older members who I was able to talk to remembered a time in the life of the church when they only used to commune once a month. They noted that in the last 30 or so years, that's changed. We commune about every week now. And many people have been asking, well, wait a second. We made this big push to commune once a week, and now we're being told as a church that fasting for months on end is just fine, and that kind of feels like a little bit of whiplash. I mean, come on, Pastor, get your story straight. We've spent 30 years telling us we have to spend an extra 20 minutes in worship for a little bread and wine. How can you say we can go without it now? I hear you. And some ELCA churches took that route. They moved communion online immediately, just like everything else. And some churches did not. Some churches are still fasting. Others will continue their fast indefinitely. And before I say anything else about communion, I want to say that this is absolutely no time for judgment. Not whatsoever. We as the church, we're all just trying to do our best and live out the gospel as faithfully as possible in this difficult time of pandemic. And our work as a church, here and now, is to listen for the Spirit of God and to discern how God is speaking to us as Shepherd of the Valley in this place, and to trust that God would speak to us and speak to our neighbors of other churches here and now as needed. Today in our gospel, Jesus goes to a solitary place after he learns that his friend John the Baptist has been murdered. He goes to pray and rest and grieve. But the crowds follow him, and there's almost the sense that everybody in the text is mourning. There's this sense that the grief of the murder of John the Baptist is widespread. The crowds just keep following him because the world around them is falling apart. John the Baptist has been killed by the rich and powerful on a whim, and it's everyone's worst nightmare, most especially Jesus's, because if they'll do that to John, they will certainly do that to Jesus, and everyone knows it. So they mourn for John, for his followers, for themselves, for Jesus. And there, in that time when the world is falling apart, the disciples look out and the crowds, they kind of take a break from their mourning, and they say, "Ah, Jesus, these people are hungry." And then they say, "Well, you know what? Let's let them fend for themselves. There's a lot of them, right? There's 5,000, but it's actually not 5,000. It's probably more like 20,000 because we hear that women and children have not been counted in that." So the disciples say, let's let these 20,000 or so folks go fend for themselves. And Jesus looks back at the disciples and says, "No, you feed them. No, you feed them." That's an important thing to hear. And all are fed. So I left for my trip to the Oregon coast, and we drove up the coast to this little cabin in Oregon, and we got to see my parents. And we haven't seen one another since January, and they haven't seen my son or Becky since August, and we reunite, and it hits me for the first time in about 5 months that I get to hug someone other than Elijah and Becky, who are wonderful, but it's just nice to feel the presence of somebody else. We get to spend the week watching as Elijah climbs onto their laps, the laps of his grandparents, and kiss them and talk to them, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be able to go to the beach and take a walk together, to be able to cook together and to eat together at a table in the same room over a glass of wine in the same space. It's wonderful. And it reminded me of something one of our members said about their hunger for communion. But it was funny, I asked about their hunger for communion, and they started to tell me about how much they miss the church, how much they miss one another, how much they miss you. They didn't even mention communion. I asked about communion, and they started talking about the people, about being together in the flesh. Now, Zoom is fine. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for this technology that's kept us together, listening to the Word of God, hearing God's promises on Sunday morning, but it's just not the same as sharing food and space together. And that got me thinking about what I know about Shepherd of the Valley. Oddly enough, as I'm preaching this morning, it's been exactly one year since I moved to San Diego County. What a year it's been. But among the many, many things I've learned about this church since I moved here is that you all can eat. I mean, on my installation day, you hauled out a beautiful spread of tacos and dessert and wine. You fed pastors and a bishop and guests and families, and all ate and all were fed. You did that. And then I remember my first day, my first interview with the call committee in person way back in May 2019. You know what we did that night? Well, after a big spread of food at Carol Anderson's house, we went over to Rich and Sherry Papik's house, and they had a massive spread of food, and we ate, and we were fed. And then the next day, I met with the church council, and I think you know what's coming. We ate some more, and then Stephanie Jordan sent me home with this big pile of dessert foods, and I went back to the hotel, and Becky and I ate, and we were fed. And I've been here for council meetings and Bible studies where we heap our plates full of cheese and crackers and fruit and bread. I've watched Steve Stanfield cook the most beautiful feasts for our teachers at the preschool. And then when the teachers celebrate one another's birthdays, you know what they do? They eat. We have this culture of eating together, and it seems to have rubbed off in every part of the building and the people and the place. Today, Jesus looks at the disciples, and the disciples say, these people look hungry. Jesus, let's let them fend for themselves. And Jesus says, you knuckleheads, that's not what we're going to do. You go feed them. So that's what we're going to do here as a church too. Next week, a small group of people will gather on the patio outside of the church on Saturday night, and we'll worship for a service of Holy Communion. We'll hear the word, we'll gather around the table, and we will break our fast from communion. It's been about 5 months. And we will do so safely with lots of hand sanitizer and distance and masks. It'll be a little complicated, but it's worth it. But I'll say it again, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, grace is not a dead end. And the grace we meet at that table will not be a dead end. So that as soon as those 12 people or so are fed, we're going to look at them and we're going to say, you go feed them. You go take what's left over in the baskets and you go spread God's grace into the world. This is a church that loves to eat together so that because we've got this blessing of technology at our fingertips, we're going to use it. And those 12 people will go out and deliver communion to the rest of the congregation. And on Sunday morning, in 1 week exactly, we'll gather on Zoom again and we will feast on this bread together. We'll share this meal together because that's just who we are. All will eat and all will be fed. I'm conscious that there will be some people who cannot receive bread into their homes for a number of reasons, whether you're worshiping with us from far away or because you can't risk bringing bread into your home. But I say it again, all will eat and all will be fed. Because if you remember from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that bit about the body of Christ, right? That each of us are part of this body, the eyes, ears, feet, nose, legs, hands, you name it. Well, here's a chance for us to be the body of Christ. Some of us will eat bread, some of us will not. But this is the miracle of the table, that all will be united as Christ's body. The miracle of the table is not some pastor waving hands over bread, some kind of hocus pocus. No, the miracle of the table is you. The miracle of the table is that all will eat and all will be fed. That doesn't have anything to do with Zoom or the internet. That has to do with Jesus. Jesus, not Zoom, not a pastor. Jesus unites us into one broken and shared body for the sake of the world. So that all of us are transformed because members of the body have been transformed. All will be fed. And all will be filled. We will come to this feast together once more. Because that's just who we are. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Amen.